Hi, welcome to the podcast that explores what virtual assistants want business owners to know when they start asking themselves the question, hey, do I need a VA? I'm Rachel Davila, and after 18 years as a virtual assistant going it alone, I experienced the steep learning curve from the other side of the VA client relationship when I hired my own assistant. Joining me on this podcast is a group of friends and colleagues who all have their own take on what busy entrepreneurs need to know to find, hire, and work with a virtual assistant and mindfully answer the question, hey, do I need a VA? Let's get this episode started. Hello, welcome to Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. This is episode 6, and I'm your host, Rachel Davila. With me is Bree BV, Leanne Aremley, and Sydney Hubbard. And today we're going to be discussing determining your handoff list. So, ladies, when a client comes to you and says, I don't know what help I need, I always go to the first thing is, what do you hate doing? What do you wish somebody would take off your plate? But how do you guide a client or potential client who's coming to you and saying, I know I need help, but I don't know what to hand off?
The first thing I do is reassure them that they don't have to have all the answers, that it'll come up through conversations that we have. And as we get to know each other and have conversations about what's going on in their business, we'll find out those areas and find ways that we can hand them off and what that will look like. So I start with, it's okay that you don't have those answers.
Yeah, I kind of do the same thing. I tell them, hey, let's, you know, don't worry about, you know, a list so much as, hey, what's your biggest pain point? You called me for something. Let's start with that. Even if it's like a 10-minute little fix for me, does that make your life so much better? Okay, let's start there. And then just like Bree, we kind of work through it and eventually you find more and more pieces. I also do much more project oriented versus ongoing. So it's like, hey, you came to see me for a project. Let's take care of that. And as I'm working through the project, I find other pieces that they are needing help with that. And then, you know, one project spawns into multiple projects.
Yeah.
But I definitely, most of my clients don't know, hey, here's my list. Go do it for me. It's not a thing.
Yeah. Those things, what are you avoiding? Right. And, I always find too, that the more you work with somebody, the deeper and wider it goes as well.
Sydney, how about you?
I think that I tend to focus on a client's why. Like, why did you start this business in the first place? What do you enjoy most about what you're doing? And for me, my job is trying to help them get back to that. So I think a lot of times people can get so caught up in the nitty gritty things that make a business run that they lose sight of why they actually started their business and what they enjoy about their business. So I think that focusing on that, and then it can help with a sense of understanding around, oh, I like this, and these are all the things that I have to do in order to make that possible.
I find too, I don't know if it's the same for you, Sydney, is like, but when you start asking them those questions about their why and getting them connected to it, they get excited about their business again. And they're like, okay, yeah, like, let's do this. So that by the time you actually have a couple things that they've handed off to you, they're like excited about doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it when they come with this list of things. And because I always say to them, I'm like, within the flow of any one thing, any one project, any one, you know, process, there's things that they do like doing. And then there's like the things that stop them because it doesn't go with their why. Like, I love talking to the client. I love doing this, but then I have to send them all of this and I don't like doing that part. And so I love when we start kind of pulling apart their processes and I go, well, a VA can help with this, and a VA can help with this, and a VA, and you just see them, the relief on their face going, you mean I don't have to do the things that stop me in my tracks because I can do the things that I love doing, and you can take the things that I don't? That kind of relief on their face. So like when somebody comes to me, I'm like,
What is that list of things that you do or want to do or can't get to do because you're doing all these other things? And as I take them off their plate, then it is that kind of deeper. It's like, oh, I didn't know I could hand that off. Okay, here you go. I love that moment, that epiphany that they get as they start to hand things off, where they're like, I didn't even think about that piece or that piece or that piece. And then it just gets easier and easier for the client. So one of the things that I do with clients is I make them do a brain dump. I'm like, get it all out of your head and onto paper. All those things that you are, that you're currently doing and don't want to do, the things even you love doing and don't want to hand off, and like the stuff that I call them procrastinations and tolerations, those things that you wish you could get to, but other things come first, or there's things that you're doing because you tolerate the task instead of, it's not a I get to or I don't like it. It's more like in the middle, like, I'll do it, but if you could take it on, then that'd be awesome. Is there a process that you do in working with a client to really get them to deepen the handoff? Because I know that some clients tend to come and they hoard the ideas. They can't let it go because maybe perfectionism plays a part, or they don't think they can let it go, but really they can and should. What's some of your process in kind of going, I can take that, you can give it to me, it's okay, come on. What's kind of your process for that?
Fear plays a big factor too, right? Like, what happens if I let it go and it drops? And not knowing what that looks like. So for me, I'm similar to you, like do a brain dump, but also track throughout the day the things that light them up and the things that they don't. And let's start with some of those easier things so that they can kind of get a feel of what the flow looks like. They can get a feel of what the communication style that they want or need is. They can get a feel for what it feels like when that's done and they didn't have to do it, so that it kind of helps with that momentum. And keeping conversations, like talking about what's coming up in your business, like having a good communication and meetings where you talk things out. That's where like those little nuggets, like you were saying, come up. And you can be like, ooh, did you know that we also do that? Or we could help with that? Or did you consider this? And sharing those ideas and kind of going from there.
Yeah, I do the same kind of thing. I just kind of keep talking to them, pulling it through, mentioning things. I also noticed that the more I get them to talk about themselves, and you know, they kind of relax, and it's no longer just a client partner kind of, it now becomes, hey, we're friendly-ish. Even if we're not friends, we're like, you know, they share stuff about, you know, their kids and whatever. Then they start talking more and they relax a little bit more about, hey, I'm not hoarding it all because now I kind of trust you. You know, now I can kind of hand this off to you. And if you're going to have a problem, you let me know. I've also noticed that when I do say things like, hey, this is a timing issue for me, they're like, oh, okay, and it's no big deal for, you know, the timing issue, that then they start to realize, okay, she's just going to say something if she has a problem. She's not going to disappear because she doesn't know, or, you know, drop the ball because she's going to say something. And that kind of gets them to relax a little bit more. And I kind of feel like the more I know about my clients on the personal side, then they don't hoard. They don't seem to hoard as much.
I agree with everything that you guys are saying. I think that trust is a big part of it. And something that I do is remind them that I can start something and then they can take over and finish it if they want to. I think sometimes having a starting point is all a client needs, to just have that push or to just have a foundation. And I think also consistently checking in with, here's what I have, is this what you want? Because I can make adjustments and I can change. And so I think that eases the fear of, oh, what if it's not something that I like? well, it's okay if it's not something you like because I can change it. So I think being flexible can help build that trust.
Well, and I think that a handoff list from a getting started point of view is really just a getting started kind of to-do list. These are the things, like you said, the pain points, the things that are getting in the way of the why. And it can also be if I start with this project, it's not urgent, it's not scary, it's not overwhelming, it can help build trust. But a handoff list kind of is that getting the ideas out of your head and onto paper so you can kind of look at, like, what projects can I start with to build trust? What are the things that would really make my life easier until I have that momentum, that trust, that communication down, those kinds of things? Having a handoff list can also kind of help you prioritize those things that, you know, especially when you're like, this is important, this is important, this is important, but you only have so much hours in your budget to do those things each month or at a time, it can be make it easier to kind of look at, well, if Bree takes this on, then I can take this on, and we're building trust. You know, I'm using my hours wisely, all those kinds of things. And it still gets it off your plate to open up the space to kind of go, oh, that thing that I thought was a whole nother project was really just a step in this one, or, you know, didn't turn out to be as necessary as I thought it was. I can delay that and use different hours for kind of things. So I think taking the time to create a handoff list, to get the ideas out of your head and onto paper, and then communicating them in the discovery call process or those first, you know, later on in the season, we'll talk about interview processes. But I know for me, the handoff list kind of comes into play in that first 30-minute call where you're kind of going, are the tasks that you need the tasks that I do? Are we the right fit? I think having an idea for that is one way that a handoff list kind of comes into play, but it's not always the do-all be-all. Because I know for me, if it's not something that I can do, I can refer out or I can bring on a team member to kind of take on a task that maybe all the other things on the handoff list I can do, but some of the things I can't. How do you guys kind of use the handoff list in terms of, I guess, maybe expectations, setting expectations with the client in terms of priorities and budget and whether or not you take that client on as a client?
I think, like, also, like, just remembering that it doesn't have to start with the big heavy things, like the hard things, the things you don't know how to do. Sometimes starting small with something you do know how to do, but it just plagues on you, or it's that thing you're avoiding most of the day. And maybe it's checking your email and just having somebody go in and make you a priority inbox. And that's just relieves you so much for that. You know, you just go and you check those emails and you start from there. It can be something small to get that wheel going and feel what that's like. It doesn't have to be the big complicated things. When I start with a client and we do those first calls, we usually start with just a couple pieces at a time and then keep checking back. Like, okay, let's try these three things. And well, this is how it'll look. If it doesn't work, let me know. Feedback is important, right? And then we'll just keep altering it or see how it goes and then move on to the next things and just kind of do it step by step, not feeling like you have to be a snowball rolling down a hill.
Anything else before I wrap up?
I think that going back to the question of gauging priorities and expectations, I think that I manage that based on deadlines. So even if a client doesn't give me deadlines, I'll make them for myself. And it comes down to, what do you want me to have finished first? And sometimes you need to have one piece finished before you can even do another piece. So that comes into play. But other times, there's going to be things that they want more, and that's where the priority is.
When I think we talk about priorities, and there's lots of different ways of considering priorities, right? It's like, in what order do I want to do a project? How important is it in the overall scheme of things? And when we talk about budget, you know, where do you want your dollars to go? That can help you prioritize your project. But also, to Leanne's point about the pain points, right? A little project can cause a huge amount of pain. Sometimes, like you said, like Bree, like your inbox, right? If even just opening your email causes extreme anxiety, you know, sometimes, no, that's not really a high priority task, except that relieving the anxiety, you know, is really the priority versus the actual task. So I love that you guys brought all that up, because, you know, I'm kind of the implementation side, like, what are the things, right? What are the tasks that you want me to do? And like, I know gut level, like taking those things on really does calm anxiety. It creates space and energy and focus to kind of, but, you know, I always say the universe likes to fill a void. So if I take things off your plate, then I know you're going to get that creative download, but I don't always take into account the ease of the anxiety, the emotional pieces, right? I'm more of the tactical side, the logic side, but I love that you guys brought up the emotional side, because, you know, when clients come to us, that really is, right? Like you said, it's that pain. It's like, what brought you to me to get started? And it's really more, I think, that emotional side than the actual like task side. So thank you for bringing all that up, because I don't always think about it. So I don't even bring clients to that point. Okay. But you guys will. So thank you so much. And thank you for joining us today on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If this brought up any questions for you, please email us at heyvapodcast@gmail.com or reach out to any one of us using our connector links in the show notes below. Thanks so much. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Hey, Do I Need a VA? The podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a like, comment, or review. And feel free to join our Facebook group, Find, Hire, and Work with a VA, for more tips and tools. If you have any questions, please email them to heyvapodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.